Where are you going to take a vacation this summer? Have you considered a national park? They are all over and they are inexpensive to visit. The National Park Service today on Weekend Connection. We're going to speak with an expert. And now, let's get connected. 2016 represents the 100th anniversary of the establishment of the National Park Service in the United States. And today we're going to learn about the national parks in the U.S. And we're going to speak with Penny Musco. Penny Musco is an author who has written Life Lessons from the National Parks, Meeting God in America's Most Glorious Places. Penny has been published in Family Circle magazine, Guideposts, as well as other publications. She was the first artist in residence at Homestead National Monument, which is part of the National Park Service. And she's a performer as well as an author. Penny, thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me. I always like to talk about the national parks.
What is a national park?
National parks are sites set aside by the federal government for our enjoyment, our recreation, and our learning. We tend to think of them as big places, you know, like Grand Canyon or Yosemite. But the majority of national park sites, and there are over 400, are perhaps lesser known and not as dramatically scenic, maybe. Some are set aside to commemorate battles, like the Revolutionary or Civil Wars. Others are men and women who've made history, like Booker Washington National Monument in Virginia, or historical events, like the relatively new Manhattan Project National Historic Park, which tells the story of the creation of the atomic bomb.
We're speaking with Penny Musco today, and she's written Life Lessons from the National Parks, Meeting God in America's Most Glorious Places. Penny, you said there are some 400 national parks. Is there a national park in every state in the United States?
Yes, there is. Delaware was the last state to get a national park site in the state. But yes, now in all 50 states.
What does it cost to go to a national park?
Many of them are free. That's something that people don't always realize. For the ones that charge a fee, though, it's still a terrific bargain. Say you pay $30 to get into Glacier National Park in Montana. It covers up to three other adults in your vehicle, and it's good for a week. Also, there are several days throughout the year when parks are free to enter. All you have to do is Google National Parks entrance fee free days, and you'll find those dates. And I should add also that children 16 years old and younger are always admitted free. Now, there's some passes that you can use. There's an annual pass, which right now is $80. And current U.S. military members and dependents can receive free U.S. Annual passes by showing a military ID. Here's a really interesting thing. Fourth graders can get a free pass for the entire school year, their fourth grade year, and into the summer. And all these passes include up to three adults in the car. But the best bargain is for seniors 62 years and older. $10 gets you into the parks for the rest of your life.
Is that good for any U.S. national park?
Yes, it's good for up to 2,000 federal recreation sites, which also includes wildlife refuges, which is not part of the Park Service, but it's still a national recreation place.
We're speaking with Penny Musco today about the U.S. National Parks. Penny has written Life Lessons from the National Parks, Meeting God in America's Most Glorious Places. Penny, when we think about going to parks, I think we normally think about taking the family. Would you say all U.S. national parks are family-friendly or not?
Absolutely. The ranger-led programs for kids and their families are in nearly every park. There's also the activity-based junior ranger program. Kids get to get out and explore to find the answers to a question in a booklet about the park. And when they complete that, they show it to a ranger and they get a patch and a certificate.
Are the national parks generally accessible to the elderly or the disabled?
Yes, there is the access pass as well. U.S. citizens and permanent residents with permanent disabilities get a free pass into the National Park Service. And I have to say that my mother joined us for many of our park visits when she was in her 70s and 80s, and she had a great time. There are a lot of short paths, paved paths that are very accessible, especially I'm thinking of Everglades National Park. And there are many short trails there where you can get up close with the trees and the birds and also the alligators. But don't worry, it's safe. And you can go to a great overlook that overlooks the River of Grass, as they call the Everglades. So, yes, they're very accessible.
We're learning about U.S. national parks on Weekend Connection today here on BBN with Penny Musco, who has written about the parks. She's also served as an artist in residence. Penny, if you will, speak a little bit more about the diversity of the parks. When I think of a national park, I think of walking in the woods. What other kind of parks are there?
There are many different parks. There are, of course, the scenic parks, Grand Canyon. Those are great, great places. They tend to be mostly out west, although we have in the eastern Great Smoky Mountains and Acadia, also up in Maine. But they're also about people and about our history. In New Jersey, we have Thomas Edison's laboratory where you can go in and take a tour and see the first movie studio ever made here in the United States. There's also lake shores and seashores. Those are scenic, but they're also just great places to be. We have Cape Hatteras in North Carolina. So many different kinds of places within these 400 plus units of the National Park Service. Something for everybody.
Penny, what is your favorite park?
Oh, now that's like asking a mother which child she loves best. Certainly, I recommend all the parks I listed in my book, Life Lessons from the National Parks, and I include tips for visiting each one. But I always encourage vacationers to look for something that is in their interest. If you go to nps.gov, there's a search function at the top of the page, and you can search for your interests. Say you're a Civil War buff. You type in Civil War, and it takes you to a page where it talks about Civil War subjects. It leads you to parks that are about the Civil War, maybe the Shiloh Battlefield, Manassas, Vicksburg, places like that. Or you can build a vacation around seeing a bunch of parks. There are many places that offer bus tours for out west because the mileage is so great. It's better to take it where someone else is driving. You can see a lot of parks on those bus tours. Or you can also visit parks as an add-on to a regular vacation. For example, my husband and I were in California last summer, and we went to Yosemite, and we also went to San Francisco's Golden Gate National Recreation Area. That's a huge park in an urban area that has many little parks in there. One of the parks is Alcatraz Prison. You can go on a tour of that. That is so cool, and you'll be surprised at some of the things you'll learn. There's beautiful gardens at Alcatraz. And you can go to a Nike missile site. Nike missiles were one of our main defenses in the 60s and 70s. And you can see it actually come out of the ground and be raised up like it's about to take off. Really cool.
Speaking with Penny Musco about the national parks, she's written Life Lessons from the National Parks, Meeting God in America's Most Glorious Places. Penny, we might tend to take the national parks for granted here in the U.S. What can you tell us about how and why the National Park Service was established?
It was recognized, especially by John Muir, who is considered the father of the National Park Service, that we had many places, and he was speaking specifically of the Yosemite Valley. We have many places that needed to be protected from things like logging, hunting, things like that. And if someone, if the federal government didn't take action and preserve these places, they'd be lost. So he enlisted the help of, among others, Theodore Roosevelt. And as we all know, Theodore Roosevelt was an outdoor enthusiast. And he got on board, and he was the one who began getting national parks started. And then the National Park Service started in 1916. Obviously, he wasn't president then, but Theodore Roosevelt is the one who got it started. And before him, a lot of different people, but John Muir, who also founded the Sierra Club, really got it started. People with vision who saw that we needed to set aside these places.
Penny, the title of your publication is intriguing, Life Lessons from the National Parks, Meeting God in America's Most Glorious Places. What do you mean by meeting God in America's most glorious places?
I was on a trip to the Everglades in 2009, and I came across a tree called a bald cypress, and it looked dead. And this sign said that it wasn't dead. It was merely waiting through the winter. It was the limestone of the limestone around it was carved out, and water accumulated in there so that during the dry season of the winter in Florida, it would still have nourishment. And then it would flourish again come the spring. And I thought, you know, that's just like life. There are so many times when I feel and look dead inside, but God is pouring a reservoir of water and things I need so that I will blossom. And I said to my husband, that's a life lesson. And I said, wow, I think I want to start a blog called Life Lessons from the National Parks. And so I did. And then it eventually came into this book. So there's many stories and many natural elements in the national parks that we can see God. We can see how God works, obviously, just by looking at it. But when we dig deeper and find out the stories behind the park, the people behind the parks, there are so many lessons that we could see God at work in them. And that's the joy and the beauty of our national parks.
What is the website again that would be a convenient location to find out about the national parks?
It's nps.gov. And again, that has a search function where you can search for different interests. At the top of the page, if you scroll down further in the middle of the page, there are some buttons to click out. You can click on. You can do a plan your visit button for you to look for parks based on your interests or accessibility. And then there is a learn and explore button that leads you to sites that tells the story of America's people and places and also has kids programs. So that's the go-to site, nps.gov.
Well, we've enjoyed our conversation with you today. We've been talking with Penny Musco, an author, and she's written about and performed about and been an artist in residence for national parks in the United States. Penny, thank you for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.